My son Gabriel, he likes to ask a lot of questions, and last week or two, he was asking me questions, how much money do teachers make? How much money does James Harden make? How much money do you make? How much money do doctors make? As I mentioned, he plays the game of life, and all those life cards talk about how different people make so much money, and so I try to give him some answers, and I have here in my folder something called a 1040. Anybody know what a 1040 is? Any of our junior hires, you guys know what a 1040 is?
Thank you for your answer.
You will know one day if the Lord tarries and if you do start to work, but we've been talking about work in our sermon series here, and the 1040 is something you get in America because when you work, you often get something called a paycheck or money. And thus, my son likes to ask me those questions. And part of what you work for goes to the government. In fact, I was reminded this last week that many of us in here, the first 4 or 5 months of our work does not go to ourselves. But it goes to the government because, as I tried to explain to my son, you know, James Harden, he might make $20 million, I think maybe $15 million, whatever, it's still pretty good. He might make $15 million a year, but then he has to do something called pay taxes, and about $7.5 million of that will go towards something that we call taxes. So, as we're talking about work and what the results of our work are, one of those things is we get this something called money. And as followers of Christ, we want to have a perspective of money that is consistent with God and His Word. So the first week we talked about one side of work, and doing our best, doing it unto the Lord. Last week, Stan talked about another side, and that is not becoming anxious and trusting in the Lord for our financial provisions. And this week, we're going to kind of combine it and look at a passage in 1 Timothy as we get more perspective on God's view of work, God's view of money, and some of the attitudes that we can have towards that as we look into God's Word. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at some other verses as well in 1 Timothy as we think about work and money, okay? Reading in verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul, in writing to young Timothy, he says, "All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. And those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them." In the first century, some people think that more than half of the Roman population was involved in slavery. And this was probably in the church. That was true as well. Many people were in slavery.
And right here in verse 1, Paul is encouraging Timothy to pass on to the rest of the members of his church to urge them to relate to their masters with honor, to treat them with respect. And so as we think through how that relates to us today, we also are to think of masters in slavery in a comparative way to our employer or our teacher. And so in the same way, we want to honor our authorities, honor our boss, honor our teachers, honor our job description, and through that, we honor God. So honor your boss. Again, we're not going to get into the topic of slavery and if that's good or bad today and all of that. But in our modern day context, we want to remind ourselves to honor your boss, honor your teacher, maybe honor the job description that you have, be faithful to that, and through that, we honor God. He shares some of the reasons with us. Hang on. Okay. In the end of verse 1, why do we do that? Why do we treat people with full respect, our bosses, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered? So as we honor God, as we talked about in the first message, as we honor our teachers, as we honor our bosses, through doing our best, through living in an ethical way, through being a witness for Christ at our job and in our schools, then we bring honor to God and we bring honor to Christian principles and teachings. As I mentioned to you, one of my first jobs was working at McDonald's in Hawaii. And every year, those with crew would go on a summer project to Hawaii, and they would get a job at the Lemon Tree McDonald's just on Waikiki Beach. And every summer, the managers at the Lemon Tree McDonald's, they were asking for people with crew to come work for them during the summer. And why was that? Because they knew that these Christian short-term missionaries to Hawaii would work hard, be on time, and were honest. And so as we were faithful to our job description, faithful to our boss, we brought good reputation to the name of God and to Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel was penetrating Paul's culture, and some of these masters were becoming believers in Jesus. And so as a result, some of the followers, some of the slaves were thinking, oh, well, this is great. Maybe I don't have to be so strict on myself because my master is now a believer in Jesus. Well, Paul addresses this in verse 2. Read that again with me. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better. Okay. Because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. So maybe some of you today also have a Christian boss. You have a Christian teacher. And praise God for that. You might think, wow, this is great. I can just treat this person like a peer now because we're all level at the foot of the cross. And plus they, you know, they believe in grace. They believe in mercy. So if I'm a little late, hey, my Christian boss, he'll understand. Paul is saying, no. Don't do that. In fact, if they are a Christian master, then serve them even with greater enthusiasm and full-heartedness. Because as you do so, then you will bring honor to God and honor to your teacher as well, or to your boss. So some of you may have a Christian teacher. Maybe she's your math teacher. I don't know. And as you work hard in that class, then that teacher might win Teacher of the Year. And then when she wins Teacher of the Year, just like Jeremy Lin or Tim Tebow in her acceptance speech, she might say, "All praise and glory to Jesus Christ for giving me the strength to be such a good teacher." So let's make sure that as we work, we continue to honor our authorities, honor the job description to do our best. Okay. Moving on, at the end of verse 2, Paul says to, these are the things you are to teach and urge on them. What are these things? These principles that we are to teach and urge on them. I think what he's referring back to is all in 1 Timothy that he's already taught, but specifically starting in chapter 5, verse 1, all the way up to chapter 6, verse 2. Okay? And so here he is in chapter 5, there's actually a lot of principles about work and money, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit, okay? But moving on in verse 3, he says, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. So Paul was trying to counter false teaching in his church, and specifically as it related to work and money, we're not exactly sure what the false teaching was that he was trying to counter. We know that whatever the false teaching was, it was resulting in conflict, arguments, controversies. And then there was something also about what these false teachers were promoting that was encouraging some kind of financial benefit towards godliness, or maybe something related to a health and wealth gospel, that if you just follow God, you follow Jesus, then you'll get rich. We're not exactly sure. But all that to say, for us today, we want to make sure that we are thinking right about work, thinking right about money. And to do that, we can go to God's Word. And so I just want to share a few principles that we can find from 1 Timothy chapter 5 as it relates to work and money. So, the first one is we are to work and thus earn money to provide for our families, including the elderly. If you'll look in chapter 5, these things that Timothy was to urge, we're just going to kind of go over it real quick. Verse 4 says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Another principle we can find is helping those who are in need. Specifically, it was widows. There in verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So, again, providing for your own family, But the church was to take on and to help those who did not have a means to support themselves. And lastly, we see here in verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. So, as we think about how God wants us to work and to use that money that we gain from working, these are some of the principles that we can keep in mind positively to support those who are in need, support the work of the ministry of God's Word, and also to provide for our family, including the elderly. Okay. From verses 6 to 10, Paul then goes on to instruct Timothy on some of the dangers of money and the results of our work. So let's take a look at that real quick, starting in verse 6. He just countered this false teaching that somehow godliness is a means to financial gain. And so in verse 6, he tells us, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, here we go. And I want to summarize verses 6 through 10 by saying that the principle here is to love God and not money. One of the first things we can learn in verse 6 is that godliness plus contentment equals great gain. Okay. There's a couple of things I think we need to just unpack here. Godliness. What is godliness? I define godliness as that accurate view of God and His Word that lives itself out in our lives, both inwardly and outwardly. Okay? Contentment. What is contentment? Contentment is that satisfaction we have primarily in our relationship with God, but also in the basic essentials of life, okay, materially. And great gain, what is great gain? Great gain is those benefits that come to God, others, and ourselves as we practice godliness and contentment. So for people who need a meal because they're really stressed out, and you cook that meal for them and deliver that meal to them, then you are honoring God through that. He gains, His reputation gains. You're benefiting that stressed out mom and dad by giving them a nice meal. And then your relationship with God grows more intimate and close as you live out and obey Him. Look in verse 7. He says, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it either. So loving God and not money, we also want to remember, you brought nothing in, and you can take nothing out. So as we think about money and the things of this life, remember, we've brought nothing in, and we can take nothing out. Want to praise God that in this last week, we can all praise God that Jordan Andrew Chen was born on Wednesday morning at 6:40 a.m., the son of Eddie and Jeannie. I'm sure many of you have seen Jeannie and known that she was pregnant and soon to give birth. And so we praise God this last week, 7 pounds, 15 ounces. Praise God. Mother and baby are doing fine. But you know what? Jordan, he brought nothing into the world. I'm telling you, naked. Just like Job 121 says, naked I came from my mother's womb. And I can testify that baby came out naked, brought nothing into the world. No money, no dollar bills. He did not even bring an iPhone into the world with him. And I was thinking that, and then I saw on this picture, I think that's an iPhone there at the top of his head, okay? But he didn't bring it into the world. And he ain't going to take anything out either. Now, many cultures in the world have this wrong idea. And they think you can take it with you. We got King Tut, who amassed all these treasures, and he put all this gold and treasures into his pyramid because he thought he could take it with him. But you don't. What you can't bring anything. If you could, then maybe you would have brought some of the gold and cell phones with you in. But no, you can't. You can't take it out. In our Chinese mindset, we have Qin Shi Huang, and he thought that he could take it with him. You know, you got people burying people alive because they want to take slaves with them into the next world. It's not going to happen. Those terracotta soldiers, they are in Xi'an. They are not with Qin Shi Huang. Okay, I've seen them. They're still right there. You cannot take it with you. So you brought nothing into the world. You can't take anything out of it either. Look in verse 8. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So here is a further definition of contentment. Is we said earlier is that contentment was primarily satisfaction in our relationship with God. But as it relates to the material things, the basics of food and clothing, and back in the days, people were very satisfied if they just had enough food for that day, and they were considered rich if they had more food than just for that day. As we think about contentment, you might also want to look at Philippians 4, 11 to 13, because there it also says that I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. I have learned how to get along with plenty, and I have learned to be in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul knew how to live as a rich man. He knew how to live in poverty. And it was contentment in my relationship with Christ. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so, again, Paul is not encouraging poverty here. He is encouraging a simple lifestyle. If I have food to eat, clothing, that's good enough. But even if that's taken from me and I go through periods of poverty, I am content in my relationship with Christ, just like the songs we've been singing this morning. Moving on to verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So greed leads to destruction. Greed leads to destruction. Paul uses some metaphors here. He says that people who want to get rich, they fall into temptation. So the verb here is this falling into something. It's a stumbling that you really, and the result is you go somewhere that you really didn't want to go. So is this if I'm coming down and saying, oh man, I fell down. Oh. You know, I didn't want to go there. I didn't want that to happen to me. But it, I fell into it. Okay? And there's three things that happen. First, it's a temptation. And then it's a snare. It's a trap. And then it's ruin and destruction. And this is what greed or the love of money leads to. And it's quoted here that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So here's my question again, is money evil? Is money evil? We'll ask our junior high guys again. Yeah, money is not evil, right? It's more neutral, but it's the love of money, or it's that greed that leads us into destruction. And so friends, we want to renounce any kind of love of money or greed. And later on, I may ask you to come on up to the stage and at the foot of the altar to say that I renounce a love of money and I give all of my money to Jesus. So I want to encourage all of us in here that our motivation for work, let it not be the love of money as our primary motivation for the job that we choose. So if you're in a job right now where your top motivation is because you want to grab more and more money, I would challenge you to reconsider why you are doing what you are doing. As you choose a career in the future, as you choose work for the future, let it not be the top motivation be, what can I do to make the most money? But let it be, how can I best honor God with all the gifts and the talents that He has given to me? Now, of course, if there's nothing wrong with money, and if two jobs are the same and one pays a little bit more, there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking the higher paying job. But let us remember to love God and not money. Okay? So, because greed leads to destruction. So today we've had a bit of a review on honoring God, honoring our boss, our teacher, our job descriptions through doing our best at work and living out our lives in such a way that will bring honor to our superiors and thus bring honor to God. We've talked a little bit about some biblical principles of work and money and how God wants us to use our money and some of the dangers, the negative aspects that we can get into in terms of a love of money and avoiding that greed. So this last week, I was giving an envelope to our assistant treasurer, because as a minister, sometimes I'll perform services and then people will compensate me for the services that I perform for them. And someone had done that. And at that point, I have a choice to pocket the compensation that they give to me and claim it as income, or I could give it to the church and then I won't have to claim it as personal income. And so both are perfectly fine, legal, ethical. As long as I reported on my 1040, no problem. But this last week, we had decided that we would use that money and give it to the church. And then the church, as you know, compensates me through salary and things like that. So I was handing the envelope to the assistant treasurer. And as we reviewed what my options were, she reminded me that, oh, I could just keep the envelope, claim it as income. So I have these $100 bills, you know, in this envelope, and I'm handing it over to her. We already decided, but as I was handing it over, it was as if the money was speaking to me like the ring of power in the Lord of the Rings. And it was saying, my precious. And it was calling out to me. And as I was handing that envelope over, I could see Frodo about to throw the ring into the fire and then wanting to pull it back and saying, taste of Texas meals. That new lawnmower that you don't have to keep fixing, that old lawnmower. And I could see Frodo pulling it back and saying, the ring was given to me. It's mine. And Sam saying, screaming in the background, saying, no! But thankfully, like Gandalf, I stuck with our original decision. By the way, both are ethical and fine. You just have to report it. And I said, please take this envelope. And so I just share that with you to say that all of us go through struggle and face temptation in various ways with the love of money. And so flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and perseverance with those who call upon the Lord. Honor your boss. Honor your teacher. Think biblically about work and money. And love God. Love God, not money. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We praise you that you indeed are above all, that you are to be loved and praised above all, and to be worshiped and treasured. So help us, Lord, as we continue to work, to do so heartily as unto you, to think biblically about our work and money, and to love you above all. Pray in Jesus' name.